Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we will be exploring the grace of grief. My guests are Noah Rubenstein and Caitlin Stecker. Noah and Caitlin will be facilitating a three-day workshop and ritual for those living with grief and loss at the Netto Grange in Astoria over the weekend of Friday, November 14th. Therapist Noah Rubenstein, LMHC, and Caitlin Stecker, LCSW, and they'll tell you more about that when they introduce themselves, are dear friends, and they have decades of experience in mental health, personal healing, and group facilitation. Since all of us suffer grief and loss in our lives, perhaps now is a time for us to look at the experience of grief differently. And we'll do that today with my guests, Noah and Caitlin. Good morning, Noah.
Hey, good morning, Donna. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for being here from your home in Seattle. And good morning, Caitlin.
Good morning. Good to be with you again, Donna.
And before we talk about this rich, deep subject, which many of us unfortunately avoid or do not honor, which can get us into some trouble, before we talk about the grace of grief, let's hear a little bit about each of you, because that's so important to put everything in context of how you've come to wanting to talk about this subject, so needed, and the workshop. So, Caitlin, please tell us, a lot of people already know you, but it would be very helpful if you remind us again of yourself and the things that are important and vital to you.
Okay, yeah, I just want to acknowledge that I know that there are quite a few folks that texted me knowing about this show, and that I'm just happy to think about all these people that are on a rainy morning in November willing to come and be with us in exploring grief, maybe in a little bit different ways and hopefully with some grace. And so, yes, I'm a private practice therapist, been here for 35 years, and also a trainer in this work, internal family systems, which has been a very immense influence on my life and the lives of my clients and friends. And I now have shifted from being that person that goes out all over the country to share things. I am going to be focusing on being able to be with the people in this community, in this area. And it's kind of like, it feels like I'm bringing my gifts home to everybody. And it's starting off with this incredible experience of being able to do this three-day grief exploration with my beloved friend, Noah. And I just want everybody to know also, I've been doing a program for 2 years called Vital Elders and Young Old Souls. And if you want to go to that website, vitalelders.org, there's all kind of references and the information about this workshop there. And we'll say that at the end of the program too. But it also has some other videos and things that can be very helpful. So please make a note of that if you want, vitalelders.org. And I feel like this is kind of our launching, Noah, huh? Just to be able to get beginning, and our workshop is in about 8 days. And so here we are.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for that, Caitlin. Yeah, you know, Caitlin and I have known each other now for almost 25 years. We met when we were both training in internal family systems, and then later we were assisting in trainings together and did a training in Alaska. And then Caitlin went on and became a lead trainer and was doing IFS all over the country, training other therapists. So it's been wonderful to just have such a deep friendship with Caitlin for so many years. I'm super excited to be doing this with her. So I've been in private practice since the turn of the century, and focus mostly on inner child work and helping adults to experience tenderness and self-compassion for themselves and others. And of course, that involves a lot of grief work. And then parallel to my practice, I also launched a company in 2006 called goodtherapy.org, which eventually became one of the top mental health resources online. On the surface, it was just a therapist directory, and we were competing with Psychology Today, but we were really, we were really trying to demystify therapy for consumers, for people considering doing their inner work. And ultimately, I was wanting to reduce harm in therapy by encouraging collaborative and non-pathologizing forms of therapy, similar to internal family systems. And this vision for goodtherapy.org and the work I was doing in private practice were both really important to me because of what I went through as a child. As most people know, most mental health therapists go into psychotherapy because of what they have been through in their childhood, to work their own stuff out. My family had been torn apart by some power-abusing therapists from a very popular therapy cult that existed in the 70s called the Center for Feeling Therapy. And in the 80s, the center would eventually be held responsible for what is, I believe, still to this day, the largest mental health malpractice lawsuit in the history of California. These therapists at the center were abusing clients emotionally, physically, sexually, encouraging their clients to become totally emotionally dependent on their every word, controlling every aspect of their lives. They were coercing pregnant mothers into having abortions and pressuring clients with children to give their children up for adoption. And I'm involved in this because my mom was one of their clients, and she was pressured to give me and my little brother up when I was 5 and my brother was 3. And so we lost basically both our parents for a year and a half. We didn't see either of them. And it was, I guess the most significant thing about me is that I experienced a ton of loss at a very early age and was burdened with feeling unwanted, unlovable, and worthless. And that pain was so great that I repressed it all. All the memories of my childhood, most of my memories, I should say. And it wasn't until I was 21 when I started having flashbacks and it all came flooding back. And I spent the next 10 years struggling with the grief of it all. And I carried all of this grief and all this worthlessness until I was roughly 30 when I began releasing it. And therapy would, over time, truly save my life. And this is why I do what I do and why I'm here with Caitlin, offering the grace of grief, because grief comes in many forms. And there have been other forms of grief in my life as well. So sorry, I know that was kind of long, but
Oh, thank you, Noah. That's
significant.
thank you. It is significant. Indeed, it is. I also want to mention that you have a band called Elevator Operator and you tour throughout the Pacific Northwest. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
A rock star. Yay.
I had a bit of a midlife crisis in 2018 when my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, and my mom passed in 2019 and 2020. My mom and my dad both passed within 6 months of each other. And so I stood back and reevaluated everything. And I'd wanted to, I used to be in bands in my 20s, but didn't have the courage and the confidence when I was a kid to do it for a living. So, I can't say we're doing it for a living now, but we're loving it. And we're writing a lot of songs about grief and loss, but also celebrating life, the good times and the bad times, and helping to uplift audiences.
And that's
So
what
that's
I'm so thrilled. I'm so thrilled about because in Grace and Grief, we're going to, or Grace of Grief, we're going to actually be able to have music and have all the different ways that we can explore and share together because Noah has this beautiful gift of of being a rock star.
I don't know about that, but thank you,
Well,
Caitlin.
one of the things that you wrote, and if people are curious, by the way, and interested in learning more about the Grace of Grief workshop, I think there are a couple of spots left. It's a small group. You can Google the Grace of Grief workshop Astoria. You can also go to the Vital Elders website, and you can learn more information about that. But one of the things you said is grief is not a problem to be solved. It is a sacred human experience that calls for presence, care, and community. In today's culture, grief is often hidden, privatized, or rushed through, leaving many of us isolated in our pain. Yet grief is far more than sorrow over the death of a loved one. We grieve relationships, health, lost dreams, the state of our world, the unmet needs of childhood, and even the unspoken weight of ancestral wounds. So you all are looking at grief differently, maybe, than a lot of people in our culture.
Yeah, I really got that early when one of my beloved teachers, Dick Borrow, was doing just a consult with me, and I said something about grief, and he said, "So you know, honey, that you really have to grieve every day to keep current. That there are griefs every day in our life. There are frustrations and places where we feel like we are powerless to influence what's happening, and that it's really important to be able to stay current with it. And most of us have never been encouraged to live in that way. But that's one of the things that we'll be working with, is just how do we allow for the realities of the times that we feel like there's things that we can't influence? I mean, my goodness, as you said, Donna, we're living that right now. And I think just that alone, if someone wanted help and support and to be able to be in a community, our time in Grace of Grief. And like, by the way, I mean, we're doing this one the weekend after next, but I really believe, and especially because Noah's kind of what I call a manifester, I think we're going to be doing more, and we'll be letting people know about that as well. But yeah.
Noah.
Well, yeah, I guess I'd add to that that well, I got really lucky early in life. I had people in my world that were able to put their arm around me and offer a safe place to cry when I needed to. And that's not typical. Most of us come from families in which it wasn't safe, where crying was maybe shamed or criticized, looked at as a weakness. And so many of us are afraid of being overwhelmed by our pain, afraid of making it worse. People apologize for crying as if it's a problem. I have to say that crying is the most beautiful experience, I think, one of the most beautiful experiences a person can have. And if it were not for crying, for my ability to hold myself with tenderness and self-compassion and really get my feelings out, I'd be really stuck. I'd still be struggling with the worthlessness and the burdens of feeling unwanted that I carried in my childhood. You know, I'd still be struggling with the loss of my parents.
Well, crying is medicine, isn't it? Crying and is a medicine, and now science is showing it releases endorphins. It's a very powerful way to get to the other side. Crying medicine, shaking medicine, because these help us metabolize the experience of grief and come out the other side.
Actually, it the tears of grief have more toxins in them than any other tears. It's a cleansing of the body that happens when we cry, and it allows people to be healthier and have a yes, as you said, an experience of healing and medicine.
And what Caitlin and I really want to offer people coming to the Grace of Grief workshop is an escape from the world where we're avoiding our feelings and avoiding our stress and avoiding what's weighing us down. Because again, most people have never experienced in their entire lives a safe place to completely let go. And It is a true vacation when we can stop gripping so hard and stop resisting and stop pushing back against our pain and our suffering and our grief. And we can kind of let go and let it out. And people discover that you actually feel better when you have a good cry. That's why they call it a good cry.
And what we're seeing now in our culture is unexpressed grief turns to anger, acting aggressive, depression. And right now our society is full of anger, which I think the two of you said when we spoke on the phone yesterday is unexpressed grief.
Yeah, that's one of the things. If you want to go to Vital Elders and then see some of the videos that are there, there's so much understanding in the world of parenting now that weren't was not there for most of us, that parents being able to support their children and being able to have tears about the things they can't change, and
Yeah.
being able to see that as really important to support, rather than seeing it as a tantrum or something that, and I totally empathize with parents in trying to do their job of socialization of their children, but I'm afraid in our culture we've overdone the trying to control and keep our children on the path to being competent, capable, always in control people. And so then we end up losing our feelings and losing our heart. And when that happens, yes, the sadness turns to a frustration and often an anger and that sense of despair as well. And we're seeing that now in our culture, on TV and in what we're experiencing with each other.
Yeah, really. Politically, we're so polarized, and everybody is, wanting everyone else to feel and think the way that they do, and finding themselves frustrated and angry that the world isn't the way that they want it. And this is a perfect opportunity, and me included. I've had to work through
I
this
want the
too.
world
I've,
the way I
yeah,
want. Yeah.
yes. And so I've found myself at times wanting to force the world into a different direction. And what's been really helpful for me over the last 5 years is really just taking time to find to grieve and to cry and to accept that I can't change the world and to try to find that peace and tranquility in myself, despite what the world is doing. And that always involves grieving.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn, and today we're talking about the grace of grief with Noah Rubenstein and Caitlin Stecker. They are mental health workers and deeply thoughtful humans who are working on our relationship with grief. They're offering a workshop and ritual for those living with grief and loss at the Netto Grange in Astoria over the weekend of Friday, November 14th. The workshop is pretty much full. There are maybe a couple of spots left. You can go to either Vital Elders to learn more, vitalelders.org, or Grace of Grief Astoria. But it sounds to me like the two of you are going to be working with grief in other ways because we need it so badly. So whether it's, circles, gatherings, other workshops, who
Yeah.
knows? One of the things that you talk about is that this need to change our relationship with grief, because as we do, the brain, if we get through if we allow ourselves to truly grieve, then it helps us again metabolize the experience so that our brain becomes more resilient and it recognizes that we got through a difficult thing so that we can deal with life more fluidly. And that's whether it's a small grief, I didn't get the job, or I didn't get this, or I didn't get that, or that happened, or a really big grief.
Yeah, and I do want to say the word ritual is being used here, and I want to be clear with people that that is not saying that we're going to be, or that that's that's something that we're saying is essential in a sense. Our life is ritual and doing things with purpose and intention, and so we'll be doing some ways in which we're writing and sharing with one another. We're going to be, you know, learning and expanding our experience of being able to actually also be witness for one another, which when we have community, we're able to be witnessed and heard and respected and loved, and we do that for others. And very honestly, it's really only been a couple hundred years where we haven't had our living experience be that every day, where people are around that know us and would know if we had a loss, everyone around us would know that and be with us in it. We don't have that now. So that's part of what Noah and I are doing, is that we're going to create with a group of people who want to be able to have the experience of being heard and witnessed and sharing with each other, create a community over those 3 days where, as Noah said, we can really feel the permission to feel and share what we're experiencing. And,
Boy.
You know, yeah, it's going to be probably a very new experience for some people.
Yeah.
Other people are going to revel in it. And I think, you know, what it really is about is this is one way you can free yourself to live your real life.
That's wow. Yeah, it's such a powerful experience to feel safe in a group of people.
Yeah.
Another experience that most of us don't get in childhood. But to feel truly safe and accepted, that all parts of you are welcome and that all feelings are welcome.
Yeah.
When you're in a group like that, you start to let go, you stop restricting, you arrive, you sink down, you ground, and that safety, it can relax every cell in your body, and the things that happen can be miraculous.
The body.
And I love the body holds on to things, as we know. And I love what you said, Caitlin, earlier about we almost need a daily expression of grief in our lives to keep up, because you're right. It just builds up and up and up. One of the other things you said on the website, which I really liked, is that grief is not linear. It's not something to get over. It's not a sign of weakness. It's a profound teacher and a gateway to our shared humanity.
Yes.
And honoring our pain and our stories is essential.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I circle back and grieve all the friends and family members that I've lost, and have a good cry when I need to, and then simultaneously can feel them and hold them in my heart in a loving way and feel at peace. It's a both end.
Mm-hmm. What about these people that we hear about, and all of us actually at times have difficulty crying, but what about the people who say, no, I don't want to cry because then I may not be able to stop, or I don't even know how to begin to cry or grieve. Yeah. And maybe it starts with just shaking your body and making weird sounds and yelling. Or I mean, I don't know. How do you help people get to that?
I hope it doesn't start there, because that would be kind of in the sense of just as Noah's saying, it's also important for us and in our communities, you know, to really to have that sense of safety, and that it can be risky to do something that we haven't done much, or we've been felt the message is don't go there, don't, you know, show your sadness. So initially, it's really about being able to give ourselves a sense of safety and permission enough in the context of relationship. And then as we also offer it to others, that can grow in our capacity to really make room for the grief of our lives and the grief of other people's lives. And so I also think, just to say right now, people who are not able to come or this doesn't fit right now, you can also for yourself create a community by just even finding a couple people that you feel that you could be open and reveal at times a vulnerability about what's happening in your life, and ask them to be your grief community and whether they might like to be able to have that in their life too. So that's a resource.
Yeah. And going back to what you were saying, Donna, like we're not forcing people to cry. We're not pushing people into this. You know, we're meeting people where they're at and really just creating the conditions for people to feel safe and to hold compassion for themselves. And when we do that, things unfold on its own, on their own.
Yes, you can't plan some of this. It's a, you create the space, and then that's right. We only have a few minutes left. We could talk for so much longer about this very important feeling entity, grief, which we can hopefully befriend through some of the pearls of wisdom that you're throwing out. So we just have these few minutes left. So Noah, any last things you'd like the listening audience to know about grief and approaching grief with honor and grace?
That's just it. Like the grace of grief for me means an honoring. And we haven't honored grief. We haven't honored sadness. We haven't honored suffering. We haven't honored hurt in our culture. We avoid these things. And it's the avoidance of these things which make all of these things worse, which increase our suffering. And the antidote to suffering is really about welcoming and honoring our suffering, our pain, the vulnerabilities that we carry, making space for them, holding space for ourselves, opening our heart. And I think that the more that people come to hold space for themselves, the more likely this world will survive peacefully. So it's medicine for all of us.
Yes, and I love that it's honoring this because we keep thinking we cannot always be chipper and up and positive, and that's what this culture tells us, you know, buck up to be positive and all that. So this is positive. Grief is positive. So we have to reframe that. But
And boy, does it feel good to have a good cry.
yeah.
Boy, does it feel good. And so many people have never f experienced this.
Yeah.
It's my wish for the world.
And it could take a couple years to get to that place if that's not been in your experience. And so I want to say again, sometimes just being able to feel in the body the sadness. So I really want to say to everyone, please be gentle and compassionate with yourself around this because it's got a lot to it. And most of us, again, yes, did grow up in a culture where our grief was exiled and not really appreciated or supported. But I do also want to just say if you would like to get some resources or connection, it's really great. We've got vitalelders.org, the website, and it's really Vital Elders and Young Old Souls. And I thank Paul Brady for creating this website for us and with me. And there's videos there, my address, phone number, and there's the Grace of Grief registration and course description. So please consider going and checking that out. And then also, if you listen to this and thought, well, I'd like to understand that a little bit more, and you know, whatever, The Wild Edge of Sorrow by Frances Weller is an incredibly beautiful book, and it's changed a lot of lives, and it's medicine.
Oh, thank you. Well, what you're doing is good medicine. We need this grief medicine in the world today, for sure. And so I honor both of you and thank you for making time to be on the program. And I
Thank you,
know there will
Donna.
be other opportunities in the future as this is a topic we can explore endlessly, really. So thank you both so very much.
Thank
Thank
you,
you,
Donna.
Donna. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Viri, for being our incredible engineer this morning. And my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Brunn for his original theme music for this program.